Christian sermon, which applies to all of us. However, I believe the passage is incredibly significant to elders as we seek to understand how we are called to serve the body of Christ faithfully. I was ordained more than 20 years ago. And there were many times when I was ready to be done being a pastor. But those God calls, He sustains. We just sang the words. I want to say to you, brothers who are elders, our gospel, the good news of our life in Christ, is all God's grace from beginning to end. Not only do we need to declare that it is grace alone, but I would humbly say to you that it is grace entirely. Our life in Christ is all God's grace from beginning to end. The message of God's grace in the New Testament is always God's work in His people. In 2 Corinthians 12, the Lord is declaring to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Grace, power, and weakness. This is our only hope for the church together. Honesty about our weakness. Humility to receive God's grace and to walk in that grace. And the very power of God. We're not self-propelled. We do not have the power of man. It's the power of God. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most often, grace is defined in the Bible as God's loving kindness, God's favor to His people, God's power at work in His people. Grace appears in the New Testament 154 times. 100 of those times are by the Apostle Paul in 13 of his letters. 10 of those times are in the book of 1 Corinthians. 3 of those times are in this chapter. But guess what? All 3 of them are in this single verse. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. And each of these describes grace in a clear way of God's work in His people. Let me pray, and then we'll look at God's word. Father, You are kind to open our eyes to behold Your grace and who You are. Let this single verse in these short moments come alive in our minds and our hearts and our souls, because Your word is a living word. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Remember that old hymn? I looked it up this week. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Have you felt your soul threatened? Grace that is greater. Yes, grace untold points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the sin that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace freely bestowed on all who believe. You who are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Three things about grace. The first one is that it is saving grace. That's the entire chapter. Paul begins with what most scholars believe is the earliest creed in the New Testament. Look at chapter 15. Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to what I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received from Christ. I also received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is gospel grace. Absolutely clear in verse 3. I delivered to you of first importance what I received. Christ died for our sins. It is salvation from our sins. The very first description Paul is saying is, I'm not even worthy to receive gospel grace, saving grace. And yet, he recognizes that this is God's gift. What grace can be translated in its most simple form, a gift of God. Contrasting grace with the law and with works. Being a Christian is never what you do for God, but what God does for us. He saves us by grace. Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God? This is the whole chapter. And he makes it absolutely clear by the time he gets to the end of the chapter, we won't take the time. He talks about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And if he is not raised, we are still in our sins. But this chapter is declaring saving grace. And it's throughout the New Testament. Just listen to Colossians 2, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also are raised with him through faith and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses and canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside and nailed to the cross. Brothers, elders, we have no other gospel. We must declare that if someone is not a Christian, they are spiritually dead on the inside. It may seem like a harsh statement, but it is God who tells us this. Be faithful. To speak the word, it is not offensive to those who are being saved by the Holy Spirit, giving life to them that they may see and understand. It is not offensive to them. They know it's true already. For those who can say, I am what I am by the grace of God reveals their sin, their need of a Savior. And I pray that if you are here this morning and you have not experienced the saving grace of God, that in this very moment, you would know it is true. The truth of your own heart. You will see what no one else can see in your soul. That if you are not spiritually alive, you are dead. You know the guilt of your sin. You know the need for a forgiveness, for a Savior. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. What I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Brothers, I want to say to you that we must declare this. When someone in the church or someone outside comes to you with the burden of the guilt of their sin, our greatest help to them is to agree with them. When someone is under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we had better not soften the work of the Holy Spirit and explain it away. To try to somehow give them a false comfort. We answer to God. If someone is broken by their sin, we must agree with them. And we must add that their sin and ours is even worse than we can think. In Romans 14, one day we will all stand before a holy God and give an account of ourselves. We must bring people to the gospel in understanding that we are unworthy, verse 9. But we are saved by the grace of God, not our own effort. And when they feel the full weight of their sin by the Holy Spirit, we will bring the oil of gladness of the gospel and the good news that God has provided a way to deal with sin. And we know it by experience. This is the message of forgiveness that I know. That you know, this is for all of us in the entire church. This is the gospel. Can you say with Paul, whether you are an elder this morning or whether you are attending church this morning, I am what I am by the grace of God. This entire chapter is declaring salvation to us. The first creed of the New Testament church. Not self-destroying illegitimate shame from the hurt of others. That kind of shame where others have hurt us, that is not from the Holy Spirit, that is self-deprecating, it simply needs loving correction. But when someone is honestly confessing their sin, and they're asking for help with it. We know the gospel. Christ died for sins. The perfect sacrifice. And we believe. We've come to accept. And recognize the grace of God. That we can say, I am what I am. By the grace of God. If you are here this morning and you make excuses for your sin, you will never face your sin and it will not be forgiven. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As a Christian, we know that we are only saved by God's grace. This is Ephesians 2. You know these words. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. It's not just what you do, it's what we think. We were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of what? Of his grace, undeserved, in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is 1 Corinthians 15. The creed of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. Jesus comes to bring life. Paul is absolutely certain of what God has done. He said in verse 1 and 2, this is the message I preach to you. This is the message you've received, and this is the message you can stand on. It must be trusted. You are not saved by attending church. You are saved by understanding by the Holy Spirit this gospel. And putting your full weight down on Jesus, you can stand on this truth. It must be trusted. This is the gospel. Saving grace. The second description of grace is sanctifying grace. Do you see it in verse 10? But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me is not in vain. What is critical to our understanding is that each of the times he mentions grace, he defines whose grace it is. Do you see it in verse 10? The grace of God, his grace. And then again at the end of the verse, the grace of God. It is a sanctifying grace. His grace toward me was not in vain. The idea is that it was not ineffective. The word probably is best translated as empty. It literally means God's grace to me was not empty. In one of the versions of the Bible, in English, the translation says, his grace to me in this verse was not without effect. That means that the test of God's saving grace in us is that it is a transforming grace of us. It is not without effect. You cannot receive the grace of God in forgiveness of sin without it transforming you in holiness. Not instantly, but it's the process of God's ongoing work. Paul says in Galatians 4, my little children, with whom I'm again in labor until Christ is formed in you. It's a process. In Titus 2, Paul says the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all people, to all those people that will be saved. It's only by the grace of God. And then he says, training us. It's a grace that is sanctifying us. And there's two things. This is Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. It says he's training us. And how is the grace of God training us? It's a grace that saves us, and it is now a grace that is training us. There's two things. To renounce and to live. It's both to turn from and to turn to. It's the grace of God that is doing this in us. The grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. We do this by walking with God, renouncing and living. And this labor, this work of the Apostle Paul is until Christ is formed in those that he is serving. In 1 Corinthians 10, 15:10, Paul says, God's grace, I am what I am.
Is that right? Okay, we can test drive this. All right. The battery went dead, kind of like my voice went dead. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is a call to us as brothers who will serve as pastors. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. You see, we have no other message of sanctification. When people in the church will come to us as pastors and as elders, all we have is the grace of God. To say you've been walking on your own strengths long enough. Like the book of Galatians, you were saved by the work of God, by faith, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Are you now being perfected by your flesh? Not a chance. God's grace to me was not without effect. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When people come to me and they sit in my office and they unload their heart and their burdens, you know what I'm doing? I have a master's degree in counseling. And psychology is not going to help you in my office. I am praying and I'm saying, Lord, how do I help my brother? How do I help my sister? How do I bring your grace to bear on their life? Remind me of the scriptures and your truth and your word that will do its work in those who believe. This is for all of us. We speak the truth to one another in love. I am what I am by the grace of God. I know it. And God's grace to me was not without effect. It is transforming me. His power is made perfect in my weakness. The gospel appears and it is training me to do two things. To renounce ungodliness and to live holy, self-controlled, godly lives in this present age. And then Paul ends the verse. Not only is it a saving grace, not only is it a sanctifying grace, a grace that has an effect that is transforming us from glory to glory with ever increasing glory. But I say this to you as my fellow elders, and I say this to you all as the church. The Apostle Paul says, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. When you are ready to give up, When you don't have the strength, you feel like, what's the point? People are just attacking me over the silliest things. To be a pastor, an elder in the church, you're just a lightning rod for everybody's complaints, and it is really lonely. It is the grace of God by which you will labor. Grace does not require a response to serve. Grace produces the response to serve. Paul clearly understood this in Galatians chapter 1, that he was serving the Lord. If I were still seeking to please man, Paul says, I would not be a servant of Christ. But he understands that the one he's seeking to please is the one he serves. Brothers, as you serve with us, God's grace is a saving grace and a sanctifying grace, and it is a serving grace. It's quite a photo album, isn't it, in 1 Corinthians 15? Verse 5 to 9, Peter denies Christ. Afraid of a little girl. And later he stands on the day of Pentecost, gave one of the greatest sermons in the book of Acts, calling for repentance and faith in Jesus alone. Says, I don't even know this man, and swears. And then Peter stands up in Acts 14, being threatened by the Sanhedrin, and he says, there is no other name. By which we must be saved. And then there's the 12, right? You see it right here in this photo album in 1 Corinthians 15. They were scattered on the night of Jesus' arrest. But after Jesus appears to them, they are scattered around the world with the gospel. They turn the world upside down by God's grace. And then James, the brother of Jesus. He thought Jesus was crazy, remember? He didn't believe in him. And later in the book of Acts, James becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem, declaring that Jesus is the Messiah. And then Paul intentionally, purposely says, I am the least of these. How is it even possible? I labored harder than all of them, yet it wasn't I, it was the grace of God in me. Paul said this in Philippians 2, God works in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. Did you hear that? To will, to even want to serve. And then to act, the ability to serve. And we serve the Lord as we serve others. You can see it in Ephesians. Paul says that it is by the power of God that he has been made a minister in verse 7 of chapter 3 by God's grace. And maybe the better way, I thought of it after my sermon was done already, maybe 1 Corinthians 12 should include the words suffering grace. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He asked God to remove it. God didn't change the situation. And he said, my grace is sufficient. Brothers, those of you who will serve with me, do you hear what I'm saying? It is all God's grace from beginning to end. We don't just have salvation by God's grace, and then say to God, okay, I got it from here. I got it from here. I'm going to live a good life. No, it's a saving grace, and it is a sanctifying grace, and it is a serving grace. Listen to the very last verses of chapter 15. in 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Why? Because of the grace of God, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Let's pray. Kind Father, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you will bring to bear the work of conviction of sin. A grace that saves. That we do not soften the gospel. We declare what is sinful and an affront to you. We are broken by it. But then we come and we receive your grace. We are dead. You make us alive so that we can even know and understand and believe and call on your name. For those in this room who are seeking to have a self-sanctifying work in their hearts, would you convict all that your grace to us transforms and sanctifies? The grace appears, bringing salvation and training us to renounce and to live. And where we've been sitting on the sidelines, Christians, saying, well, I just can't do that. I can't go out of my way to love my brother or sister. I pray that you would empower by your grace to serve. Grace from beginning to end. And for all of us, we humbly say, it is the grace of God alone. And in your name we pray. Amen.